Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
All right. If you have a Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy 4. We'll come back to that passage in a little while. The subject for today's Bible study is spiritual disciplines. So I didn't prepare a PowerPoint. I had stuff that I could have put on a PowerPoint or some kind of handout or something. But if you're a note taker, maybe this would be a good time to practice careful listening and synthesizing information and trying to write. And if you have any questions about what I'm going to say today, feel free to ask me. Jonathan, in Paul's office, I have some books stacked on his desk. There's three books. If you can bring those to me, that'd be awesome. Thanks. So yeah, today we're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines. Can anyone give me maybe a definition of what a spiritual discipline is? It's a weird way to start a lesson about spiritual disciplines. Can anybody want to venture to try to define what a spiritual discipline is? Albert? Great, yeah. So something like routine practices that are seeking to deepen your relationship with God. So that's a great definition. So with that kind of definition, what are some examples of spiritual disciplines? Yeah, so fellowshipping with other Christians, so spending time together in community. What are some other spiritual disciplines? Bible intake. So reading scripture, hearing scripture read, listening. What are some other spiritual disciplines?
Prayer.
Prayer, absolutely. So prayer. What else is out there? Memorizing scripture, meditating on scripture. You could even add something like journaling. There are other kinds of disciplines like fasting. There's a whole list, and we're going to get into some of those. I don't know if you have made New Year's resolutions, but often a New Year's resolution would often be, I want to read through the Bible in a year. Sometimes you might get way ahead and say, I'm going to buy one of those Through the Bible in a Year books where it has everything broken up for you and you just read through that. Those are fantastic. I highly recommend that. My experience on Bible reading plans is I've read the book of Genesis like 100 times, and I rarely get much past that. Just stuff comes up, and I may even try to plot out ways to catch up, but then one day I've got to read like 60 chapters to catch back up in my reading plan, and it turns into a drive just to check off the boxes and try to catch up. So a lot of times I've tried to make resolutions for myself to jump back into spiritual disciplines, try to keep a journal every day. I don't think I've ever journaled more than two consecutive days. I always have this great intention of doing all of these things, and I almost never am able to follow through with it. And it's kind of depressing. It's kind of frustrating. It's never something I intended to do, but I always just get overwhelmed by it. I get behind. I feel like I have to catch up, and I can never catch up. So I hope my hope for this lesson is not that this is going to be some overwhelming, unrealistic task to assign you. That's not what this is. What I hope for this lesson is that you'll be freshly convinced of the importance of spiritual disciplines, that you'll be freshly encouraged of your need for fellowship with God, and that you would see the cultivation of your own soul, of your own personal relationship with God, as desirable, as realistic, and as life-giving, and not just time-consuming and draining and exasperating. So I hope that maybe we can talk about spiritual disciplines in a way that will encourage you and not overwhelm you. And also, maybe even especially in Reformed circles, we kind of shy away from talking about your relationship with God. I was just talking with Zach. We love these like forensic ways of talking about our relationship to God, like we're justified and we are declared righteous in His sight. And those are all very true. But there is a very real relational component to our connection to God. The Puritans knew that very well. They were experts. They would not say they were experts. They were experts in experiential piety, in experiencing God and enjoying God. And so I hope maybe this will be a good encouragement to you. So let's pray and ask for God's help as we give our attention to this topic. God, our Father, we pray that you would help us, that you would guard our hearts and our minds from error. We pray that you would drive us to your word. We pray, God, that you would give us conviction to pursue godliness above all else. Lord, we long to be like Christ, and we pray, God, that you would point us to Christ through spiritual disciplines. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, one of the important, I guess, encouragements or exhortations for you is, to the extent that you neglect spiritual disciplines, to the extent that you neglect your own relationship with God, you're living short of the glorious joy that's offered to you in the gospel. You're living short of the peace and the rest that Jesus invites you into. So to the extent that you neglect this or just put it off or just punt it to next year, I mean, it's only like January 7th. And if you're already saying, well, like maybe next year I'll get on that Bible reading plan or whatever, I want you to hear, don't put it off. Don't neglect it. Because to the extent that you neglect it, you're missing out. You're robbing yourself of joy and you're robbing yourself of rest. So I guess I want to ask three questions. What are the spiritual disciplines? Why do we care about spiritual disciplines? And like, why does it matter? And then how do you do them? Like, what are some very specific, tangible, practical things to do? Again, it's easy to kind of misconstrue, because what I'm going to tell you to do is, hey, you need to do these things. That sounds very law and not very gospel. And we're going to talk about that even, maybe part of the theology of spiritual disciplines. It sounds very much like you got to do all these certain things. And so I want to frame the spiritual disciplines in the context of the gospel. So the first question is, what are the spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines, Albert had a great first go at that definition. So spiritual disciplines are those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers. So practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers. These are habits of devotion, and these are habits, their routines, their patterns of experiential Christianity. They've been practiced by the people of God ever since biblical times. So these are not something that's new that I just came up with. These aren't things that, you know, we just follow because, you know, our Puritan forefathers did it or whatever. These are biblical practices found in Scripture. So we're going to come back to that. Let me give you a couple of biblical references to remind you of some of these things. To put my Bible. Thank you very much. So maybe you're still at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. We'll look at that very briefly, just to point out a few things. Chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." It's a way of saying discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Just like you would exercise in a gym for physical fitness, Paul is telling Timothy, exercise your soul for the purpose of godliness, your spiritual well-being, your health, the health of your spirit, the health of your soul. Train yourself for the purpose of godliness. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, just to the right, verse 14. The author of Hebrews says, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." So there is a striving toward holiness, toward godliness, that is so essential to the Christian life that it says if you're not doing this, you will not see the Lord. It's a way of saying this is part of the very essence of the Christian life, is this striving after Christ's likeness, this being conformed into His image. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, Paul writes, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." We're going to come back to this idea, but here's Paul saying, I worked hard. I disciplined myself. I trained myself. And it's by God's grace that I have the influence that I have. It's by God's grace that I have the ministry that I have and that people are being impacted by the gospel, that my life is bearing fruit. It's by the grace of God. But he says, but I worked hard. I worked harder than anybody else. I worked my tail off. And it was God's grace that was working in Paul. So let's look at Colossians 1:29. Colossians 1:29. Paul says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." So Paul is pressing on in his ministry to the church at Colossae. And he says, I'm toiling, I am struggling, I'm trying my very hardest. I'm working hard and doing things and struggling with all of the energy that God supplies and that God is working in him. So there's a brief collection of verses that emphasize there is a very real doing aspect of the Christian life. So these are activities. These are things that you do. They're not just attitudes. Because you can say, like, oh, I'm just going to, like, revel in God's vibes. I don't know. People come up with all kinds of weird things. But this is an actual doing, a doing of activity. These disciplines are outward. They're outward actions. I wish I could emphasize that enough. And I want to maybe here pause to make the distinction. Godliness is not just outward. That was the error of the Pharisees. Godliness is both inward and outward. The essence of these spiritual gifts, of these spiritual disciplines, excuse me, the essence is doing, but the goal is being. So you don't do and work in order to become a Christian, but you do and work as a part of growing as a Christian. And the goal of the spiritual disciplines is being conformed to the image of Christ, is being made more like God. Christ-likeness is the great end of the spiritual disciplines, and the disciplines are the means to that end. So this is part of how we take up the cross and follow Jesus. This is part of what it means to take on His yoke. His yoke is easy and His burden is light because it's His yoke, these spiritual disciplines lift us up into more Christ-likeness. And so it's hard work, and no one accidentally becomes more godly. No one accidentally becomes more like Jesus. It's not like when you push a snowball down a hill, it just picks up speed and gets bigger. That's not how Christ-likeness works. Christ-likeness is hard work. It's pushing the rock up the hill. This is the task of Christian growth, and it requires conscious and consistent effort. So I hope you're not too overwhelmed about that, because this is God gives us help. I hope you heard that from Paul. God supplies the grace to do this work, and He gives the Spirit to help us to do this work. So this is not about doing some spiritual good so that God will bless you. This is not about earning God's favor. We are not, and I repeat, not trying to use our obedience to God's commands as leverage against God. Not trying to use our obedience to biblical commands as a way of trying to twist His arm into giving us something that we want. This isn't about earning God's blessing or controlling His blessing or anything like that. God is totally free to dispense His grace and His goodness to whoever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants, without any of our cooperation or participation. God is sovereign in all of these things. And He does that very thing all the time. But He has revealed the typical paths where He's said that He will be found. He's revealed to us the pathways where He says He will be found. So a good illustration of this is if I were looking for a bear, the animal. If I were to go to downtown Auburn looking for this bear, I would probably be a fool, first of all, because you're not going to find a bear in downtown Auburn just roaming the street, some big grizzly bear or whatever. You would go to the woods, probably not the Alabama woods, but you would go where a bear is going to be. If you're looking for a bear, you're not going to go to the mall. You're not going to go downtown. You're going to go out into the woods. Tons of ways that analogy falls through. In a similar way, if you want to encounter the Lord, you go to the spiritual disciplines. You go to the practices from Scripture where God says He'll be found. These are the pathways where we will inevitably encounter the Lord. So we're going to talk about what those are. These paths are well-trodden, and they seem totally mundane and totally normal most of the time, but this is how God has said we will grow to be more like Him. We got to take God at His word. I don't remember most of the meals I've ever eaten, but I realize that I've been nourished by them because I can look in the mirror and see kind of a medium-sized, kind of chubby guy, and I realize a lot of the very mundane, normal things are the things that are feeding me and helping me to grow and helping me to develop. In the same way, I don't ever remember seeing Henry grow in like jumps. He's 2.5. I've never seen him actively in the process of growing with my naked eye. The only way I know that Henry has grown is by looking at old pictures of Henry. And I was like, I can't believe Henry was ever that small. When I look at old pictures of when we brought him home from the hospital, I'm just like, how did this happen? I never saw this happen. Never saw it happen. He wasn't that big when we brought him home at 9 pounds and 3 ounces. And now he's like 40 pounds. And he's huge, and it was so gradual and so progressive and so subtle that I totally missed it, but it's happened. And that's how so much of the Christian life is. And it takes a commitment to the spiritual disciplines to persevere in that. So the Bible doesn't tell us how fast we must go, but it does tell us the direction we must go, and it tells us how to get there. So let's look at some of these spiritual disciplines. This is not an exhaustive list, but here are some. And I think it's important to divide these into two categories. There are personal spiritual disciplines, and then there are corporate spiritual disciplines or congregational spiritual disciplines. We're going to spend most of our time talking about personal disciplines, but we'll make mention of some corporate disciplines. So personal disciplines would be, like Blake said, Bible intake. So like reading Scripture, hearing Scripture read, I guess mainly reading Scripture is what you would think of in that category. So Bible intake and meditation. So pondering, chewing on passages of Scripture, meditating on God's Word. Prayer, speaking to God in prayer. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. Serving in all the various ways that you can serve personally. Serving God. Stewardship. Giving is a spiritual discipline. There's a spiritual thing. It's not a checklist, and it's not something that's auto-drafted from your bank account. It's a spiritual good that fosters and cultivates spiritual growth. Silence and solitude. That's a spiritual discipline. And maybe another one is something like journaling and writing. And kind of under that would be learning through other kinds of Christian literature and reading good books and those sorts of things. So those are all personal spiritual disciplines, and I believe each of those has biblical support. For silence and solitude, that's kind of a weird one, but it says often in the Gospels that Jesus withdrew to desolate places to pray. So Jesus is frequently seen going into solitude by himself to pray and spend time with the Lord. So those are some personal spiritual disciplines. And let me run through some corporate spiritual disciplines or congregational spiritual disciplines. So these are ones we do as a church. So church membership is a spiritual discipline. That's something that you're working in. It's not just signing up. It's a continued commitment to the church and to the ministries of the church. Hearing the word preached, like we did this morning, that's a corporate congregational spiritual discipline. Singing together, corporate prayer. Whether it's we all pray out loud or whether it's a pastor or other person leads us in prayer. That's a spiritual discipline that we do together. The exercise of church discipline is a spiritual discipline. The partaking of the ordinances, the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, baptism, those are spiritual disciplines. Fellowship together, that's one we Baptists love. That's a spiritual discipline that we do together. Service, either service together to the community or service to the body, like volunteering in the nursery, all kinds of different things, and also stewardship. So you've got these that are very personal and internal, and then you've got some that are congregational and interpersonal. So I want to ask you this question. What is the relationship between personal and corporate spiritual disciplines? How do those connect to each other? Anybody have any take? Tom? Absolutely.
Collective encouragement of one another is a big factor in keeping us consistent in our personal life.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, a lot of times people will neglect corporate discipline. Any other ideas? Tom McVeigh? Absolutely, absolutely. Any other ideas? Yeah.
Lack of fellowship leaves one vulnerable. If you're all alone, such as in a military, mm-hmm. you'll see one person running out, running across no man's land. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. That's a great point. So yeah, maybe to kind of synthesize all of that, if you're slack in your personal disciplines, you'll have little to share with other people in your corporate worship. If you never pray alone, when it comes time to lead in corporate prayer, or when it comes time to just participate in corporate prayer, you'll feel like a fish out of water. So being slack in your personal disciplines will leave you empty in corporate disciplines. And the reverse is true, as Tom Schumpert was saying, that if you neglect corporate worship, you'll run dry in your personal worship. And there is this attitude that's very common, that's just, my religion is just between me and God. It's just me and my Bible. I don't need a church. I don't need any of those things. These things are contrary to Scripture. That is a false way of seeing the Christian life. So I think it's helpful to be reminded of that. The Lord is not just leading you into more Christ-likeness. He's leading you to serve in the body. He's leading you to edify others. He's not just giving you spiritual gifts for your own enjoyment. It's for the building up of the body to the glory of God. So we're whole people, and we need each other. So here's another question I wanted to bounce off of you guys. What is the most important spiritual discipline? What is the most important one? Take it by the silence, you probably figure that's a trick question. And it is a trick question. There really isn't one that's most important. But there are some that probably should be more emphasized. So for instance, fasting is a biblical command. It really is. But Scripture does not say to fast without ceasing. It does say to pray without ceasing. We can talk about that. What that means is a little hard. And so You really physically can't fast without ceasing. You kind of have to eat at some point. But fasting is a discipline. But you're probably going to fast. You're not going to fast every day, but I hope you would pray every day. You're not going to... Some of you may fast once a week, but I hope you read your Bible more than once a week. So just because not all of them are practiced with the same intensity or with the same frequency doesn't mean they're any less important. Like I said, we are whole people. We're body and soul. We are individual and we belong to a body. We need all of these disciplines and all of their strengths. Even if we don't do all of them in equal proportion, we should be engaging in all of these in some way on a regular basis. So, second question I wanted to ask. First we asked the what are they? Now we're going to ask why. What's the goal of spiritual disciplines? Why are we doing it? And we talked about Christ-likeness. I want to maybe kind of rephrase that now and say the goal, the why of spiritual worship, of spiritual disciplines is worship. So true worship of God involves both head and heart, mind and emotion, doing and being, action and just mental meditation. So the goal of all these things is that we would worship. The Christian life is learning to love the things that God loves and learning to hate the things that God hates and learning to rejoice in the things that God rejoices in and to despise the things that He despises. And all of this leads us to more and more to do the things that God's commanding us to do. And the way we do that is through the spiritual disciplines. So I know that just sounds like I'm telling you got to do these things, whether you like it or not. But I want you to see that God is the happiest being there is. God is infinitely glorious. He's satisfied in Himself. He is happy. He is blessed. God is sufficient in Himself. And so He's calling us into Christ's likeness. That's a good thing. That's not just a load that's too much to bear. He's calling us to be like Christ. That's a good thing. He's after our joy. And I don't mean the kind of happiness that's mindless and silly or light. I mean heart-deep joy and the kind of happiness that's whole person flourishing. And so that's the goal. That's what God is after when He's commanding us to read Scripture daily. I know it seems like it's just kind of grunt work sometimes, you know, getting through those genealogies and First Chronicles. It's difficult at times, but God has a purpose that's for our good, and we have to trust God. We have to take Him at His word on these things. And sometimes we'll experience it right in the moment. There's probably little that's better than reading Scripture and meditating and praying and really feeling refreshed and encouraged by it. That's a really great thing, but that doesn't happen every single time you pick up your Bible. So as we said earlier, to the extent that you neglect this, you're neglecting the joy that the Lord is offering, is holding out to you. You'll miss God, and your life will bear little spiritual fruit. So that's why. Now the third and final thing I want to say, and maybe we can dialogue some more, is how. That's where I want to spend most of our time. How? What exactly do you want me to do? How do we do it? So maybe first of all, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. We may have read this in our service this morning. Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 through 12. Says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." So part of the spiritual disciplines is a training your heart to renounce ungodliness and to say no to sinful passions. So it's a weaning yourself away from sin. Often that comes as a decisive break with something that's so clear and obvious. A lot of times it's a progressive coming away from sinful desire. And so this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. We're training ourselves to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. We're doing this through the spiritual disciplines. Perhaps the way I think is probably most helpful to actually do spiritual disciplines is to read Scripture, then to meditate on a passage that you read, and then to pray in response or in line with the passage that you read. So nothing that I'm saying is new. Nothing that I'm saying is original to me. Let me point you to a couple references, and we'll talk about this particular method that I'm a fan of. Dr. Whitney is the godfather of spiritual disciplines. That's not true. But he has wrote this fantastic book that is almost, he would not say this, but it's almost comprehensive. It covers a lot. It's, what, like 300 and something pages? 338 pages? 341 pages? It's pretty beefy. It goes through a whole bunch of issues. So he talks about the purpose of spiritual disciplines. He talks about two chapters on Bible intake, prayer, worship, evangelism, serving, stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, learning, and then some encouragements at the end to how to persevere in it and not give up. So this is a great book. I highly recommend it. He's got a second edition that came out a couple years ago, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald S. Whitney. So highly recommend that. He was one of my professors in seminary. Another by the same author, Donald S. Whitney, Praying the Bible. This book is fantastic. You could read this between lunch today and church tonight. It's super short, very clear. Oh man, it is so crystal clear. And it will persuade you within the first couple chapters that this is like going to really help you a lot. And not just like, here's one more thing to do or the latest fad in how to be a better Christian. This is seriously this is for your spiritual good. So it's called Praying the Bible. And we're going to talk about maybe this particular thing in the rest of our time together. And one last book I wanted to point you to is called Habits of Grace by David Mathis. He works with Desiring God. And this book is fantastic. He says a lot of similar things that Dr. Whitney says. But he says it in my opinion, an even simpler way than Dr. Whitney says it. Though Dr. Whitney is very clear as a writer. It's very easily broken down. He's got three categories. Hearing his voice, which focuses on like the Bible-related disciplines. And then having his ear, which focuses more on like prayer-related disciplines. And then belonging to his body, which focuses on like congregational-related disciplines. So this is it's very similar content, but kind of laid out differently. I think a middle schooler could read this with great profit and understanding. So those are three resources, and I lean on them pretty heavily for what I think and say about this, at least all the good parts. So the specific how that I want to instruct you in and to encourage you in is praying the Bible, which is you take a passage of God's Word. It could be a chapter. It could be a verse. It could be a few words. Should probably be more than a few words. It should be at least a couple of verses probably. And then you kind of hone in on some of the ideas and you meditate on them. You chew on them. You turn them over in your mind. You think about them. I guess there's not a ton of ways to explain meditation. You meditate on it. One of the ways that I like to meditate... What's that?
Reflect
on it. Absolutely, yeah. So you reflect on it. You think about what it means. Not just say the words. A lot of times you can memorize Scripture and you can repeat, so you can repeat the words, but you haven't really thought about it. You haven't processed it. You haven't really meditated and chewed on it. I did that a lot. I remember in college trying to memorize some big sections of Scripture, and I really patted myself on the back for being able to memorize a big section of Scripture, but I realized I could regurgitate the words in order, but had not really processed what they meant, and had not really reflected on what they meant, and certainly had not really reflected on them in a way that changed the way that I lived. And wow, what a tragedy to know God's word so precisely, but to neglect what it actually says to do. So you don't just read Scripture, you meditate on it, you dwell on it, you chew it up. One of the ways I like to meditate on Scripture is to read it over and over and over again, and then maybe read through it and kind of emphasize different words. So maybe as a test case, let's go to Psalm 23. This is what Dr. Whitney uses as an example, and it makes total sense. Psalm 23, very familiar. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So maybe one way to meditate on it. There's tons of ways to meditate. I think in Dr. Whitney's new book, he presents like 20-something ways of meditation. So kind of like pick one. I don't know. The way that I tend to do it, just because it's easy to remember, is to emphasize different words in the passage. So put the emphasis on a different word. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So just different ways of kind of reflecting on the passage and kind of milking it for all it's worth. God's word is endlessly rich. You will never exhaust it. So just meditate on the passage. I'm going to say this and I'm going to pull it back. It is sometimes helpful to have a devotional commentary to kind of think through all, like a proper exposition of it. But that's really not the purpose of what I'm saying here. It's okay to read God's word without, you know, being able to write a dissertation on it. You don't have to have, you know, all of your Greek and Hebrew tools out to really glean from God's word. Just read the word. Internalize it. Process it. Read it. Read it out loud. Sometimes it's good just to read in your head, but read it out loud. Get an audio book, audio Bible. ESV has a free one on their app. Meditate on it. Chew it over. Think about all the different ways that you can glean from God's word. And you don't want to be too loose with this, but the Spirit really does help you in this. When you open God's word, empowered by God's Spirit, the Spirit will lead you into the truth. The Spirit will help you and will guard you. And the Lord uses his word to bring us into more Christ-likeness. So this is what I'm saying. Read the word and then meditate on it, reflect on it, chew it up. And then I think a very important part of kind of finishing, not really finishing, of kind of bringing this discipline to a fuller enjoyment and benefit to your soul is to pray the Bible. And I don't just mean pray about the Bible, and I definitely don't just mean, which is something that I'm guilty of, giving a theological explanation of what the Bible means to God. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, take the words of Scripture and pray them as an outcry of your own heart. So for this, you might say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You might say, thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. Thank you for leaving the 99 and coming after me, the one that had wandered astray, and bringing me back to the flock. Those are biblical ideas. They're prompted by the text. You're praying the words of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. It could lead you to pray for other things. For instance, my cousin. Lord, I just lift up my cousin to you. I realize that he is wandered. He's lost. He is totally lost. Lord, I pray that you would be his shepherd, that you would pursue him with your pastoral care, and that you would lead him into green pastures, that you would save his soul. So that one first phrase prompted me to give thanksgiving to God for the way he shepherded me, and has also prompted me to pray for other people and to pray for other things. I shall not be in want. Wow, you can pray a lot of things. Lord, I've got this financial issue or school issue, and I really need your provision and your guidance and your wisdom here. Or my parents are going through this, or my job is going through this, and Lord, I trust that you will not allow me to be in want, and that you will supply all my needs in Christ. And certainly the spiritual aspect of God's provision for us is incredible. These don't have to be full expositions that cross all the perfect theological T's and dot all the perfect reformed I's. These are ways of reflecting and meditating on God's word and responding to God in prayer. I think this is an essential part of spiritual disciplines that covers a lot. It covers Bible intake, meditation, prayer. Something like that is very easy to write down in a journal, if you were to journal. And I suggest that you journal, even though I'm a hypocrite for saying that, because I don't do that very well. Write down those prayers, write down those thoughts, and come back to them later to think about those and to dwell on those. So that to me is maybe one of the most helpful things that I had heard about spiritual discipline. So if you're tired of saying the same old things about the same old things and praying the same old way about the same old stuff, if you were to pray the Bible it will greatly help your prayer life. Because as you progress, verse by verse, you're prompted by different things. It's an endless supply of things to pray for and ways to pray about them. You'll never run out. If you get stuck, say, you anoint my head with oil, so you're like, I don't really know what to pray about that. That's all right. Move on. There's tons of other stuff. Even if you... There's a whole Bible full of phrases, clauses, verses, chapters, whatever it is to pray. Some things are easier to pray than others. You don't have to pray through the genealogy of Matthew the same way that you pray through the Lord's Prayer of Matthew. It's okay. Read the Bible. Whatever it prompts you to do in prayer, pray about it. Pray without ceasing. The Lord will help you. The Lord will provide for you. The Lord will sustain you. And there's, like I said, it's an endless wealth of stuff to pray for and ways to pray for people and ways to pray for yourself all throughout Scripture. And I hope that will be a help to you. It should give you something fresh every time. And hopefully our pastors and people who pray in our corporate worship can help to model that, maybe with greater mindfulness, as we pray through Scripture in our morning worships. So we read the Scripture out loud, and a lot of times we kind of just move on to the prayer and what's listed. We should be praying in line with Scripture. When we pray in line with Scripture, we can be confident that we are praying according to the will of God. And we can be confident that we're praying in Jesus' name in accordance with what He desires and in accordance with what He wills, because this is His Word. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. So I hope that comes across as very doable. It's not complicated. You don't have to go to seminary. You can do this and know absolutely zero Hebrew. It's very doable. It can take as little as like 30 seconds to read "The Lord is my shepherd" and just kind of chew on it and just reflect on it. Just enjoy the word. Pray it back to the Lord. You don't have to have an hour blocked out. And if you miss it in the morning, you can catch up on it at your lunch break. It's okay. It's okay. So, I do think the meditation component is the single greatest need in Christian spirituality today. I think a lot of times we hear the word and it just comes in one ear and out the other, and it never really gets processed and reflected on. And I'm guilty of that. I hope that this will help you to be more mindful as you do this. There's a passage in Psalm 39, verse 3, that says, "While I was musing, the fire burned." This is the psalmist saying, while I was meditating, dwelling on the word, the fire burned. The desire, the fuel of piety was burning within me. So as we meditate, we'll find ourselves delighting in the Lord. We'll find our affections stirred, our hearts stirred up. And so we can read the Bible easily enough with these apps and with audio Bibles and all these kinds of things. But we tend to be pretty terrible at extended periods of mindfulness about the biblical material we just read. That's true of the sermons we hear. That's true of the Bible we read. That's true of other Christian books we read. I feel like I read a good bit, but I don't always process very well. And that makes me really sad, because I read some good stuff, and I just don't remember hardly any of it. And I just need to slow down and be more mindful and read more carefully. It's better to read less and meditate more and remember what you read than to read the whole book of Genesis this afternoon and remember none of it, and to think about none of it. So warmth for your soul comes from staying near the fire and not just by passing by the fire. So I hope that's easy enough. So read it, meditate on it, and then pray. Pray about it. So we're probably out of time. So let me ask if there are any questions or any thoughts about that. If not, I'll pray for us, and this will be a great thing to chat about here after the service or over lunch together. So let's pray. God, our Father, we are grateful for your the gift of Holy Scripture. It tells us everything that we need for our spiritual welfare. Lord, would you help us to have a renewed conviction that it is infinitely worth our time? It's worth the pause to really reflect on it, to really meditate on it. Would you help us to train ourselves for godliness? Would you help us to be diligent in that training? And would you help us to be grasped by a vision of who you are and what you've done for us in Christ, that would be a consuming thing for us, that we would so long to be more like you and more like Christ. Or would you give us power by your Spirit to not forget what we just discussed? Would you give us help to remember the word we heard preached this morning and to reflect on its application for our own lives? And would you help us not to be so hurried through life that we do not process and really reflect and really internalize the things that your word has called us to do and attitudes it's called us to have? Would you help us not be would you help us not to make excuses for ourselves that may sound very good and theological, but would lead us to neglect your word? Would you help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll be back here tonight at 6 and talk about some more applications of these things.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Antelope Drive.